Last week we started talking about the love of God, and we were talking specifically about agape love, the God kind of love. And we learned that the agape love and the God kind of love, it's not a romantic, mushy kind of love, right? It's a love that represents faithfulness, intenseness. It's an intentional love. It's a decision. It's a choice. It's an act of the will. It's a choice to love. That's agape love. That's the kind of love that God had for us. And agape love from God comes out of the goodness of His character. He doesn't just love. The Bible says He is love. That's who He is. He's defined by love. It's His nature and His character is love. And then everything He does flows out of that love. So it's not what He does that defines Him, but it's what who He is that determines what He does. Agape love is always shown by what it does. God's love, like we talked about at communion, God's love is displayed most clearly at the cross. And that's agape love. That was a decision for God the Father to send His Son, Jesus. And then Jesus made the decision to come and be the sacrifice for our sins. And so they were demonstrating and showing us the God kind of love. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So by His own love, God showed us the way to love. That's a love that's undeserved. It's a love that was given without any strings attached. And it was a love that constantly seeks the best for others. This is just a little bit of a review of what we talked about last week. That's agape love, a love that looks always for the best of others. A love that is willing to love even when it's totally undeserved. And there's no strings attached. It's an unconditional love. There's no conditions placed on that love that I'll do this for you, but I'm looking for this in return. That's not the God kind of love. The God kind of love is I'll do this because it's who I am. And really, your response won't affect my decision or my ability to do that. I'm going to do it anyway. 1 John 4:16 says, "We know how much God loved us, and we have put our trust in His love. God is love, and all who love live in God, and God lives in them." I want you to remember that last phrase. All who live in love live in God. Why is that? Well, if God's love, if we're living in love, we're living in God. We can switch those words around and we can say all who live in God live in love. They can go one way or the other. It doesn't really matter. If we're living in love, we're living in God and God lives us. Why? Because God is love. In fact, because God is love, it's impossible to live in God and not be living in love. It's one and the same, right? So if we're believers and we're saying, yeah, I'm living in God, God's in me, well, that means you have a love walk. That means that there's agape love should be evident in your life, because if you're living in God, you're living in love. 2 John 6 says, "Love means doing what God has commanded us, and He's commanded us to love one another, just as you heard from the beginning." So we don't have to live, I believe we don't have to live with an abstract concept of love. You know, last week we talked about how in the English language, love is used so many different ways that it can mean so many different things. But the Bible shows us really clearly what agape love is and what agape, what that kind of love looks like. The Bible just shows us in so many different passages of Scripture. 2 John 6 says, "And this love, what this love consists of is this, that we live and walk in accordance with and guided by His commandments, His orders, ordinances, precepts, and teaching." This is the same verse that we just read in the New Living, but we're reading it in the Amplified. "This is the commandment, as you've heard it from the beginning, that you walk in love, guided by it and following it." So it's really quite simple. Walking in love or living in love is keeping God's commandments. And I believe that Jesus was the absolute perfect example of this, because He only did what the Father asked Him to do. And of course, the Bible tells us He was obedient to death, even the death on the cross. Philippians 2:8, "And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Who is He being obedient to? He was being obedient to the wishes of God the Father. He was doing what God asked Him to do. That is real love, is following God's commandments. And so Jesus was our example. And if you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, you've already taken that first step in obedience. Perhaps it's a decision that you made years ago, or perhaps it's a decision that you just made a few minutes ago. But if you've made that decision, that's already the first step. And when we do that, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit pours the love of God into our hearts. So that happens through the Holy Spirit. But that love is there, but if you're not stirring up that love, and if you're not using it, and if it's not activated in your life, it'll remain dormant. Others won't see it in your life. And so we all have that love. When we receive Jesus into our hearts, the Bible says that the love of God is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. But we need to stir up that love, and we need to activate it. And as I was preparing these notes, I was thinking of the lesson that we just actually went through in Connect Groups. And so those of you who are partaking of the Connect Groups, you know, Brother Jerry Savell was just recently talking about how when we come to Christ, not only do we receive the love of God, but we receive a measure of faith, right? So we all receive some love, and we all receive some faith. But our responsibility with that faith is to do what? What are we supposed to do with that faith? Grow it, exactly, right? We've got some, and God wants it to grow and wants it to increase. And so the same thing is with love. We start with a measure of love, we come to Christ, and it's our responsibility to grow it. And God gives us the ability to do that as well, too. And so faith and love are very connected in many ways. And we're going to see that as we talk just a little bit more. So faith and love both become activated through the knowledge of the Word of God and then the application of the Word of God. As we get the Word of God in our hearts, that's how we activate faith and love in our lives. Philippians 1:19 says, I pray that your love will overflow more and more and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. So Paul is talking to the church in Philippians, and he's saying, you have some love, but I'm praying that love is going to overflow more and more, right? What's the vision of Solid Rock Church? The vision for Solid Rock Church, my mom mentioned it today in her offering message, is that we become free and full and overflowing. And that's in all areas, right? We want to overflow in faith and God's goodness. But, you know, if there's one thing that we could pick that we wanted to overflow in, it would be the love of God, right? Have our lives just manifesting God's love. Because God's love is everything else. It's the foundation that everything else rests on. So we want to be overflowing, just like the Philippians, with God's love. And then keep on growing in knowledge and understanding, because that's what causes it to increase. Without revelation knowledge followed by action, that love just remains dormant. It's not being used. We need to activate it through God's word. And you know, it's interesting because we become a new creation in Christ. You know, sometimes we just we can have this thinking that, you know, the Bible says I'm a new creation and everything's just going to happen automatically. It's just my life is just going to change. And but, you know, we're involved in that process. We're absolutely involved in that process. And so, you know, our identity is changed. When we come to Christ, absolutely, we are a new man. We are a new creation. We are a new person in Christ. We have become the righteousness in God in Christ. And we've given some faith and we're given some love, but we have to stir that up and activate it to see those things growing in our lives and getting results. We want to stir up our love to the point that it starts to overflow and that we're able to share with others. That's the whole goal. That's the whole point, right? If there's just a little bit of love there and we're not really doing anything with it, well, maybe we have enough for ourselves. But we want to have enough love that there's way more than we need for ourselves, and that so we have something to give everyone else that God brings into our lives. 1 John 2:5-6 says, whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought also himself to walk just as he walked. Who are we talking about? We're talking about Jesus here, that if we're abiding in God, that we should be walking and acting and living the same way Jesus did, and that's the love walk. And so as we act on God's word, this scripture tells us that God's love will be perfected in us. It'll grow, it'll increase. That perfection is overflowing. That overflowing state, that is God's love perfected in our lives. And that's when it begins to flow from us to others around us, when it's overflowing in our lives. You know, I was reading some notes by Gloria Copeland as I was preparing this, and she probably writes a little bit more on love even than Brother Kenneth does. And this is a statement, actually, there's two statements I'm going to read here, and I ran across them several months ago. I think it must have been on my Twitter feed. I was trying to figure out, where did I first see these? Because when I saw them yesterday and I was preparing, I knew I had seen them before, but they just struck me. And so I'm just going to read them verbatim as they were in her article. But the first statement that Gloria made, she says, there's nothing, absolutely nothing, that is more important than learning to live in love. There's nothing, absolutely nothing, that is more important than learning to live in love. And then the second statement is, how accurately you perfect the love walk will determine how much of the perfect will of God you accomplish. How accurately you perfect the love walk will determine how much of the perfect will of God you accomplish. Why is that? Every other spiritual force in God's kingdom derives its action and derives its power from love. It all comes out of love. And so if we can perfect a love walk, if we can get love right, if we can get the love of God overflowing in our lives, then all the other fruit of the Spirit and every other spiritual force is going to have power and be activated as well. And that's when we achieve everything that God has for us, right? The perfect will of God is everything that He designs for us to do, everything that He desires for us to walk in and to build and create and do through His power and His enabling in our lives. That all happens if the love walk is perfected in our lives, if we come to the place where the love of God is just overflowing out of our lives into the lives of everyone around us. So every other spiritual force derives its action from love. Answered prayer is almost, I would say answered prayer is almost an impossibility if we're not acting in love. If we don't have the love of God in our hearts and we're bleeding for something, but there's strife or unforgiveness or bitterness, whatever it is, if we've stepped, you know, if this is love, if we've stepped outside of love and then we're believing for something, we're hoping, we're praying for something, it's really not able to happen outside of being in love and living in love. I'm going to show you some verses that back this up. 1 John 4:16 says, "We have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and believes in him." Sorry, abides in God and God in him. We already read this in the New Living, but now this is the New King James. "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us." So if you're living in love, it means that you've believed the love, or we can just substitute God for that, right? Because we already read that God is love. So if we're living in love, that means we believe the love, or we're believing in God, who is love. As I read these next few verses, I want you just to keep that in mind, that God is love. And so living in love means believing in God and believing in love. There's that connection there between faith and love, but it requires us to believe. Keep in mind, God is love. Let's read Mark 11, 22 and 25. We're going to just explore for a couple minutes just a faith-love connection and to look at how faith works by love. This is Mark 11, 22 and 25, verses that are really familiar to us. "So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, "Be removed and cast into the sea," and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses." These verses are interesting. And I want you guys to see the faith-love connection. Remember, God is love. So that very first phrase that Jesus says, he says, "Have faith in God." But we can really also change that and say, "Have faith in love." Have faith in the love of God. Have faith in God and have faith in love, or have faith in the love of God, because faith in God is faith in God's love. That's really what it is. It's faith in the God kind of love. And God tells us that if we're not walking in love, our faith's not going to work. And that's why that, you know, a lot of times when we're reading those scriptures, we just stop at verse 24. But I believe that when Jesus was sharing this principle, he wanted us to get the faith-love connection. So that's why verse 25 is there. And it almost looks like a little bit of an anomaly, right? Because we often think of these scriptures in Mark chapter 11, like these are faith scriptures, right? Like this is, for example, this is Brother Kenneth Hagin's. This, like, he pretty much preached this scripture every time he talked about faith, right? But it's really about faith and love, two things together. "Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you for your trespasses." So when Jesus was sharing this teaching, he was saying, have faith, but you got to be in love. Love's important. If you want to see your faith get results, if you want to be able to move that mountain, you need to be walking in love. Paul has a scripture that is in many ways similar to this. And it was interesting. I had to look last night because I didn't know. And I wanted to know if Paul was actually able to read these verses. And you know what? He wasn't. Paul's book in 1 Corinthians was one of the first epistles that he wrote. And it was probably around AD 55 or so. The Gospel of Mark, in all likelihood, wasn't written until about 15 years after that. So Paul wasn't able to turn to the Gospel of Mark and read it because it simply hadn't been written yet. It's actually remarkable that none of the Gospels had been written before Paul started writing his epistles. Did you guys know that? This is just something that I kind of realized last night. The Bible tells us when Paul came to Christ, he went away for several years and just received revelation from the Holy Spirit. That's amazing that everything that he writes about, all the revelations that he talks about in his epistles, I mean, we have the benefit of going through the Gospels and we can read what Jesus says, and it brings so much more richness to our revelation. Well, Paul didn't have that. He was just getting it one-on-one from God. He was just getting it through the Holy Spirit. And so Paul hadn't read these verses, but listen what he writes in 1 Corinthians. Remember, we're talking, Jesus is saying, you can have faith to move a mountain, but you have to be in love. And then here's what Paul said before that verse was written. 1 Corinthians 13, 1-3. Again, familiar verses, but now we're looking at it in a different context. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, so speaking in tongues, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. You know, quite simply, without love, your giving won't work, praying won't work, speaking in tongues, won't have the same effect that it would have if you were doing it out of love. Prophecy won't work, so all these spiritual gifts, all these gifts of the Spirit, Paul's saying, these things don't work apart from being in love. Really, every truth that we learn from God's Word, it works by love. And they profit us very little, and they profit others very little, if we're not operating in them, and if we're not using them from a motivation and a foundation of love. Even moving mountains, isn't that something? Paul is saying, you can have knowledge and revelation up to the point where your faith is so strong where you're ready to move a mountain. But if you're not doing it through love, it's pointless. There's just no point to it at all. How does the love of God behave? This is the next thing that we're going to look at. Mark 11:25, I think it lays this out right there, that those scriptures that we just read in Mark 11:25. It tells us that love requires forgiveness, and then faith requires forgiveness. So if we're going to see our faith get results, that faith that works by love, well, we have to be able to walk in forgiveness. If we want our prayers answered, we can't have offense, we can't have bitterness, we can't be holding things in our heart against our brothers and sisters in Christ. And what is unforgiveness? Really, at its most basic level, unforgiveness really is just a lack of love. It's just the opposite of love. It's just not enough love. A lack of love is what results in unforgiveness. And that's just simply a decision to keep that love that God's given us just inside and kind of bottled it up and just kind of keep it to ourselves, but not being willing to let it overflow from our lives to someone else. Because when we're walking in unforgiveness, when we're having grace for people, even when it's undeserved, even when we don't feel like we should do this because we're not really receiving anything in return, that agape kind of love, it's just something that comes from inside of us by God causing it to overflow in our lives. But that's a decision, that's a choice that we make. And so the God kind of love requires us to walk in forgiveness. That's what love does. And of course, we can think back to Jesus on the cross as well. That's what God, love does, is it walks in forgiveness. I want to read 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. So this is, of course, we're reading from the love chapter, right? So we read the first three verses of the love chapter, and we're going to continue on and read verses 4-7. And now we're looking at, how does love behave, right? Paul is starting to paint a picture for us a little bit more deeply of what the God kind of love looks like. He's basically saying, this is what agape love looks like. It's patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. It never loses faith. It's always hopeful, and it endures through every circumstance. There's a forgiveness thing again. And you also see that the love in action is really the fruit of the Spirit, right? There's a few of them that are listed there, but patience, kindness, and humility. Paul just picked a few of the fruit of the Spirit, but he's telling us this is what love looks like. the fruit of the Spirit being activated in our lives, that's the God kind of love. That's agape love. And further from that, love never gives up. It never loses faith. It's always hopeful. And it endures through any kind of circumstances. Now, if you didn't know that we weren't talking about love, and I was talking about a spiritual force that never gives up, that's always hopeful, that endures through any circumstance, what would you think I was talking about? If I said, what am I talking about? You'd probably say, well, faith. You must be talking about faith. Well, we're actually talking about love, right? Love never gives up. It never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through any circumstance. Why are we talking about love? Because faith works by love. And so we have to be living in love and be living in God to have that faith activated and be able to have results in our lives. So learning to live in the God kind of love, that's really the key, because everything works by love, including our faith and our prayers, the gifts of the Spirit, every other spiritual force that we can hope to walk in and believe to walk in as believers works by love. You know, I started off by saying that the God kind of love, that agape love, it's a decision of the will, that it's a choice. So that puts us at a crossroads, right? And often, many times in our life, we find ourselves at that intersection, at that crossroads. Am I going to choose God's love today? Am I going to choose God's love in this situation? Am I going to choose God's love for this individual, right? We often find ourselves at that crossroads needing to make a choice. How are we going to walk in this situation? But I believe it requires a definite decision to do that. And so I'm preaching to myself today. As I'm even sharing to you today, I'm thinking about a couple times this last week where maybe I didn't choose the God kind of love in situations. And we can do that as believers, right? But God can also give us the strength and the power to make that choice, to choose the God kind of love that is undeserved, that doesn't have any conditions attached, and that always looks for the best in others. So I encourage you, think back to those scriptures in Mark 11 when Jesus is saying, have faith in God, and remember that it's faith in love as well, right? It's faith in God, that God is love. And so have faith in God, but have faith in love. That means learning to believe in love, getting to the point where you're believing that the love of God being manifested in your life, the love of God overflowing your life, is going to get results. It's going to flow out of your life into the lives of other people, and good things are going to happen as a result. And then remember that statement that every other spiritual force derives its action from love. So you can think, well, I'm going to get strong in this area, or I want to develop this gifting or this spiritual principle in my life. I would encourage you that as you do that, that's a great motivation, a great decision to make. But ask the Lord to reveal you, Lord, show me how this area in my life works by love, because your word says that everything works by love, and love is the foundation. So Lord, give me the revelation and ability to see how this area of my life functions and happens through love. Amen? Let's make a decision to walk together in love, to walk in love by faith in God's word, choosing to walk in the Spirit, walking just really according to that love of God that's been placed in our hearts, right? There's that scripture in Romans, the Holy Spirit has shed abroad his love, or poured his love into his heart. So that decision that we make, it's really a yielding decision is what it is. That's how Brother Keith Moore, if he was preaching today, that's how he would say it. He would say, I encourage you guys just to yield to the love of God that's already been placed in your hearts. It's there. There's a measure that's there. Stir it up, activate it, and then yield to its force in its life, right? When you're at that crossroads, when you're at that intersection, you have a choice you made. Just say, I yield today to the love of God. I choose to let the love of God direct my words, direct my thoughts, direct my actions, direct the way I feel. Just direct everything I do. I surrender to the love of God being real, being made manifested, and overflowing in my life. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, for your word today, Lord, that encourages us that we can believe in you, we can have faith in God, but we can also believe in love, Lord, because you are love, Lord. So help us see that faith-love connection, Lord. Help us see that faith works by love. And so as we stir up that love of God in our heart, Lord, as we choose to activate that and choose to get our love to the place where it's perfected, where it's overflowing from our life, the lives of others around us, Lord, that everything else, every other spiritual force, everything that we're endeavoring to do in our lives, all the gifts of the Spirit, all the fruit of the Spirit, Lord, every spiritual treasure, Lord, that you've given us in life, Lord, in the kingdom of God, it works by love. It works through love, Lord. And so we purpose today to stir up that love. We purpose to be a people that are known by the love of God, Lord. We thank you for the testimonies we heard today of people in our church that are walking in that love, Lord. And so we thank you for it, Lord. But we don't want to stop here. We don't want to stay here, Lord. We want to just become greater and greater and see increase in this area, Lord. And so I declare over Solid Rock Church, over this family, Lord, that we are a church that learns to love the God kind of way. We are a church that learns to love the agape way, to have love for each other that perhaps is undeserved, but it doesn't have to be conditional, and that we are always looking out for the best interests of others. Lord, we thank you that we have you, Jesus, as our model, that you are such a clear example of the ultimate agape love, the way you obeyed the Father, the way you laid down your life as a sacrifice for many, Lord. And so we choose to walk in that love today, Lord. We choose to say that we are a church that's going to be defined by love, that one of the ways that we'll be known in this community is by the way that we love each other, by the way we love others. So we thank you, Lord, for your gift of love that's been given to us, Lord, so that we can have it as a foundation, we can have it as a motivation. And as we cause it to grow and as we cause it to abound in our lives, Lord, we thank you for much fruit for your kingdom. In your mighty name, amen.